Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Glad to have you with us this morning. As always, stuff to talk about, places to go, things to do. Just glad to have you here. I never know quite, you know, where to begin with this show because there's so much information during the week. And sometimes it's hard to filter it out. There's so much happening. If you listen to my podcast from last Wednesday, if you haven't, you can go to my website. I'll give you that address in a minute. On a nursing home wanting to close down and throw out all of its residents because the taxpayers were tired of paying for older people who needed nursing homes. I'm not making it up. And it was happening in Nantucket, one of the wealthiest places in America. So there's always stuff to talk about. You can go listen to my podcast from last Wednesday, and you can you get more information on the article. But lots to talk about, and I want to go back today to one of my favorite subjects, which is caregivers. And before we get started, let me introduce myself and get some stuff out of the way. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host here on Assets and Aging, going on 19 years on KFBK. The longest running show of its kind. I've survived imposters. I've survived competitors, and I think one of the reasons this is the longest running show on senior issues is because I tend to tell people what really happens, not what they think happens. One of the things I'm accused of all the time is being brusque. And straightforward, and I'm going to continue doing that because I think painting what is a very difficult subject with bright paint and covering it up is not a good thing to do. We're going to continue to talk about, June is Elder Abuse Month in Cal. You never know it. There's so much elder abuse that goes on in California, folks. And the legislature right now, as I was talking to somebody yesterday, is trying to come up with a resolution. And they're going to come up with I'll talk more about that in a minute because it just gets me excited. So glad to have you with us. We're going to continue to talk about this in real ways. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what they're talking about. And there's a lot of them who don't. There are some who do. I have a California insurance license I have had for 45 years. I have to tell you that. It's a stupid rule, but it's a rule. I have to tell you that, as if you didn't know after 19 years. I don't know what it has to do with anything, but, you know. I guess I also should tell you I'm not a plumber, just in case you thought I could install your water heater. I have a California, I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direct and your direction and request. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. And everything we talk about here is, because then I can tell you the truth, folks. And everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. It's my opinion only. A good opinion. Have a little coffee here. But nonetheless, my opinion. This is Elder Abuse Month in California. Okay, we have a month celebrating elder abuse. Stop and think of the idiocy of that statement. Awareness. Like we're all not aware. And I was talking to somebody the other day, I don't want to say who, and they were talking about no one had come up with a resolution yet in the state legislature. They were looking for somebody to do a resolution. And I said, what kind of elder abuse are they going to talk about? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I see elder abuse all the time, what I think is elder abuse. And they said, elder abuse to the average legislator. And by the way, the average legislator can't see one inch past the nose on his face or her face. But they don't know what elder abuse is. I said, they should be talking to the people who are out there in the trenches. Most people, when they think of elder abuse, think of the grandson who beats up grandma or robs the old man on the street. That's elder abuse. But the larger elder abuse is much more subtle and is absolutely undealt with. This week alone, I've seen the following things. I'm not making any of this stuff up. I had a lady come in, talk to me. Husband's in an assisted living. They're paying a lot of money every month. And she'd heard about this thing called aid in attendance, this veterans benefit called aid in attendance. And I said, yeah, there's a thing called aid in attendance. And she opens her file up and she pulls out a contract. And she says, I just talked to somebody about this. And it's a contract. It's a referral contract from an attorney here in town to a law firm or an attorney in Kansas City who then refers her to a financial planning firm somewhere else. She doesn't know any of these people. She hasn't met any of these people. And I said, well, what's the cost of this? And they said, it's no cost. I said, wait a minute. All these people involved, all these attorneys and these firms back in Missouri or wherever it was, And you've never met any of them. And she said, that's right. I said, and they're going to do all this for free. I said, yeah. And she said, yeah. And then I started looking at the contract, and they're going to take all of her money, and they're going to put it in financial products that are undefined. And then that was yesterday. Now, I don't know what you call that, but if that's not on the edge of elder abuse, I don't know what is, and I see this stuff all the time. Then the other day, I see a website, and I've never seen this website before. There's so much fraud in the veterans benefit arena, folks. Be really careful. I mean, but anyhow, I saw a website, and I go, I never heard of these people before. And it was Veterans Something website, you know, or Something Something Veterans website. And I wrote a friend of mine who's an elder law attorney, an accredited VA agent, and does a lot of VA stuff. And I said, I never heard of these people. And he said, yeah, it's a couple. And I here's why I bring it up. First of all, never heard of them before. Secondly, they're insurance agents. But nowhere on the website does it say they're insurance agents. Secondly, that what they're selling are annuities, and it doesn't say that anywhere. And thirdly, it's a violation of federal law with only a couple exceptions, like the Veterans of Foreign Wars and somebody else, American Legion, to use the term veterans or veterans benefits or use any military symbols in your advertising. And yet there it was. Now, when the state legislature is looking at elder abuse issues, might that not be one? When you're misleading seniors and you're trying to make tens of thousands of dollars off of them from selling them financial products that they may or may not need, is that not a form of elder abuse? But see, nobody in the legislature cares about that because they don't understand it. I actually presented something once to a legislator, I won't tell you who, and I call it my chairs chart, and it's too hard to describe on the radio, about how everybody from the hospital on touches a senior and how they make their money and all that kind of stuff. And very, very interested. Oh, very, very interested. Last I ever heard from them. I see so much stuff with people in... Well, I got to be careful because then it gets really, if I start telling stories, it's going to come and it's going to get too personal and somebody will figure it out. But let me tell you, I see this stuff all day long. I see the abuse of nonprofits that border on elder abuse because of how they treat elders. People who troll through nursing homes wearing lab coats and stethoscopes looking for clients. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Seniors have money. Seniors are ill. Seniors are need care. And wherever there's a lot of money and a need, somebody's going to get involved. Please be careful. Elder abuse is not just the old man who gets mugged on the street. Elder abuse is not just the little old lady living in a house whose granddaughter stole all of her money. It's much more sophisticated than that. You've seen it with banks recently. And one of the things I noticed that with these banks that were selling all these products inside the banks, never any discussion of elder abuse. While they were selling seniors inappropriate products that the seniors didn't even know they had. I saw someone the other day in my office that had bought a product that paid, put 100% of what they had in this product, and it had a 12-year surrender penalty charges attached to it. Sold by a bank. But when you try to explain that to somebody at the state legislature during senior elder abuse month, they don't get it. They don't care about it. So as you look around, your neighborhood, the people you know, pay attention to what they're doing. Not just that their daughter or their son or their grandson or their neighbor or somebody else is trying to steal the $20 out of their sock drawer, but the much more sophisticated, organized forms of it. They're everywhere, and if you're not sure that you're getting something that you want and that you understand, call me. I will be happy to sit down and talk to you and give you an opinion. I can't tell you if it's the best thing for you or the worst thing for you, but at least I can tell you how it works. And if I can't tell you how it works, I can get you to people who can. It's really, really important. It's really important if you have a disabled child or a special needs child, because there's so much misinformation floating around out there. I saw somebody recently that had a fairly large amount of money. Mom had a fairly large amount of money, has a couple children that are special needs children, and the way it was set up was atrocious. The way the broker had set it up for the benefit of the special needs children was just atrocious. In fact, I sent it to an attorney for review, and the attorney said, "This is atrocious." If you need help, let me give you my contact information. If you're dealing with any senior issues, frailty issues, nursing homes, Medi-Cal, assisted living, veteran stuff, document issues, who's going to take care of me? How are we going to pay for it? Give me a call. My number is 800 here in Sacramento. Still an 800 number. I've had it for 35 years. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website, write this down, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, assets, and aging.com. Assets and aging.com. assets and aging.com. You can go to my website. There's videos there. There's podcasts there. There's archived radio shows there. You can sign up for one of my upcoming workshops. The workshop yesterday was fabulous. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, you haven't been to anything like it. I can say that unequivocally. You haven't been to anything like it. My workshops are not like anything you've been to. You can listen to my podcast. I'll come and speak to your group or organization. I've spoken to two groups in the last 2 weeks. So I'll come and speak to your retired persons group, your investment club, your church group, whatever it is. All you have to do is call me and we'll set up a time and I'll come and speak to your group or organization. You can sign up for my free newsletter. all on my website, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for an appointment to get in to see me. All of it on my website. You can do all of that. Or you can just call me, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. I want to talk a little bit about caregivers. Caregivers are ignored for the most part. I had somebody in my office yesterday. What a wonderful person, a daughter. Dad has dementia. Dad is staying at home. Dad has dementia that's getting worse. And guess who she's the most concerned about? Her mom. Because this is having a severe impact on mom. And rightly so. And I applauded her. Because most people, when we have a frail elderly person that we're dealing with, everybody is looking at that frail elderly person and nobody is paying attention to the caregiver. Nobody. I had another lady in my office this week whose husband is very ill, getting worse, in their 80s, and nobody's paying attention to the caregiver. I could just sit there talking to her and just know she's coming apart at the edges. And she told me when she was done, she couldn't make a decision. This was the second time she'd been in to see me to get things done. She said, I have to go home and talk to my son and get his permission. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, made me angry. Why isn't the son taking the lead on this? Why is mom, who's coming apart at the edges, trying to take care of her demented husband? Why is she having to go get the son's permission to protect her life? Why isn't the son taking the lead on this? And I see this over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Where we have one spouse literally dying trying to take care of the other spouse. And the people that are the stick in the spokes are the kids. Well, you know, we don't like the idea of daddy having to go into care. We don't, you know, mommy seems to be doing okay right now. And where are you guys, kids? Are you sitting there all day long taking care of mom and dad? Are you getting a mom out of the house? Are you willing to pay for a caregiver to come into the house and help take care of dad? Well, no, mom can do that. You know, we're busy. We have busy lives. We're busy, 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 busy. We have jobs. We have golf to go play. We have whatever. And I see it over and over and over and over. And the worst people to deal with are sons. I don't know why. Women tend to be caregivers, from raising babies to taking care of their mom and dad when they get older. Women tend to have be in our society more often caregivers than males. But I guess it's a plea to children. You have to be the protector of your mom who's taking care of your demented father. Because your mom and dad have been married for 60 years, and your mom can't pull the trigger. Your mom is going to not do anything that she sees as detrimental to her husband, but yet might be helpful to her. It doesn't happen that way. It's why in one-third of the cases, the well spouse dies first. I'm just begging you, would you please, all of you have somebody in your family that you know of is struggling with this issue. All of you, everybody does. every family. And to many of you, you're watching, well, Dad just has a little dementia. No, he doesn't. Dad has dementia. We talked about this a lot in last week's show. Go re-listen to it. But Mom is quietly dying, trying to take care of Dad, or the other way around. I'm just using Mom right now. And no one is paying attention to it because they secretly don't want to get involved. Well, I talked to Mom and she said she's doing just fine. No, she's not. Your mom is not doing fine. In 1/3 of the cases, the well spouse dies first. Your mom is stressed. Her blood pressure is up. Ask her doctor. Well, she hasn't been to the doctor. Why hasn't she been to the doctor? Well, because she doesn't have time because she's taking care of Dad. And I want to say something else that is important. Love has nothing to do with this. If Mom didn't love Dad, she'd just ditch him. If the kids didn't love Mom, they'd just ditch her. That has nothing to do with love. It has to do with this is really hard. We're not used to having to sit there and talk to our parents. You know, I have a child right now. Bless that child's heart. I just want to hug him forever. Because that child has a parent with a debilitating disease. And the child has finally gotten involved and said, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. Because the child lives outside of town. And so they've set up daily communication through text or email or phone or whatever so that they're talking on a daily basis. And the child who lives out of town can know what's going on. They've arranged for Skyping on a regular basis. That child knows that they have to be involved in the parent's life because the parent has a debilitating disease and it's going to get worse. I guess I'm just saying, begging you on some level. Children, you have to get involved in your mom's life. She's not going to ask for help. She's not. Your dad's not going to ask for help. You have to go get involved. You have to save the caregiver. The caregiver can't save themselves. The caregiver is not able to make wise decisions all the time because they're in the middle of it. You know, when's the hardest time to make a decision about a tactic in war? While you're in one. It's a lot easier to make decisions before the war begins. But once the war starts, it's called the fog of war for a reason. Well, this is the same kind of thing. A fog descends over all of this, and it's very difficult for people to make reasoned, rational decisions. You have to be able to do that. Children, I'm begging you, get involved in your mom and dad's life. Help them make the decisions they need to make. Help them with figuring out how do we get care in the home. How do we get care in a nursing home or a boarding care or assisted living? How do we save the well spouse? We may not be able to save the ill spouse. If that person has severe dementia or a debilitating disease like ALS or Parkinson's or MS, they're going to get worse. We can't make that better. But we can make life better for the caregiver. Maybe the caregiver's a daughter or a son. Families, you need to get involved in the life of the caregiver. I've been pleading for this for 25 years. And I have to tell you, it hasn't improved all that much. So I want you to think about that person in your family that's taking care of someone who's quietly dying, who's quietly damaging their health, and who's not going to be there because they're going to either get sick or die, and then the ill person is going to have a stranger in the house. Or now we're in the middle of a crisis. So identify that person, purpose to get involved in their life. If I can help, I'm good at it. I hold family conferences all the time. They're free. 800 888-999-8007. Get the family together. Get in to see me. Make sure that you have the authority to do what you need to do. You have a plan to do what you need to do, and that everybody's on the same page. 800-999-8007. Get into my office. Let's meet together. We can set up a conference call. So if there are children out of state, we can get everybody involved. But take positive steps today to begin to protect the caregiver. 800-999-8007. Get to a workshop. Get in to see me. We're going to take a little break for the news and weather and traffic, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. 800-999-8007. Don't go away. We'll be right back in just a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of us? How do we make wise decisions? Who's going to pay? Welcome. Glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, again. Remember, not an attorney, don't practice law, don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should call an attorney. Everybody, everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, financial, or tax advice. It's my opinion only. It's quite often a good opinion, but my opinion only. I got asked this week to talk about a subject I am not happy to talk about, but I'm going to do it a little bit. And that's annuities. Just so you know, I have a California insurance license. I am licensed to sell annuities. I don't hate annuities. I think I understand annuities a little bit. I would not call myself an expert on annuities. I don't know that anybody is. It's like saying you're an expert on Fords, but you've never worked on a Chevy. That doesn't mean you're an expert on cars. But let me talk about them a little bit because they're one of the most often used tools in obtaining veterans benefits. And they're usually hidden. People don't know they're having to buy them to get veterans benefits. So let me talk about annuities a little bit. And I don't want to get down in the weeds too much, so let me give you that disclaimer. This is not to be exhaustive, and don't use anything I say here to help you to decide whether to buy one or to not buy one, you know, kind of a thing. So this is just a discussion in general about annuities. There are generally two different forms of annuities. And this is good stuff to know. It'll keep you out of trouble. Basically two kinds of annuities, deferred and immediate. To annuitize something, where the term comes from, Social Security is an annuity. In the sense that all an annuity is taking a lump sum of money and eventually taking it out in equal payments over some period of time. So when you annuitize something, you know, you put money into the Social Security system, and when you were done, it pays you out so much over some period of time. That is, until you die. PERS, pensions, are a form of annuity. You know, you put money in, and when you're done, you don't get the lump sum. You get the payments as they come out over the rest of your life, or 10 years, or some period of time. They're not real hard to understand. Annuities are usually only sold by insurance companies. So even if you go into the bank and you buy an annuity from the friendly broker in the bank, you're going to buy the annuity from an insurance company. The bank then gets paid a commission, and the broker then gets paid a commission by that insurance company. So two kinds of annuities. Let's talk about the simplest kind first, and that is immediate annuities. I've got $100,000, and I want to make sure that I don't outlive it. I want to make sure I get money for the rest of my life and I don't outlive it. So I agree. I'm not saying to do this. We're having a general discussion. Again, nothing here is specific advice. I agree to take my annuity payments. I'm going to turn that $100,000 into a monthly income. Let's say it's $1,000. I'm just making up numbers. And I'm going to get that $1,000 plus a little bit of interest for the rest of my life. It's called a life-only option. And so what that means is at $1,000, it would take me 100 months to get all my money back. Well, what happens if I live 120 months? Well, the insurance company still has to keep paying you $1,000 a month. Because the deal was they're going to pay you whatever the amount is every month for the rest of your life. So you can never run out of money. The downside to that little deal is if you die 6 months from now, the rest of the money is gone. Or it could be, depending on how you took it. If you took it as a life only, then you forfeit the rest of the principal. So it's a guarantee. I saw it work out really well once where a lady's husband took out an annuity. And when he died, she started taking monthly payments when she was 50. She lived until there was about 50,000, 60,000, I don't remember how much was in the annuity. She started taking monthly payments and for life only, and she lived to be 95. Do you know how much money the insurance company paid out? They paid it out every month. But on the other side, I've seen people who have taken out immediate annuities, life only option, and they live 2 years and die and they lose the principal. You can also take an immediate annuity for what's called a period certain or life. So for instance, you have $100,000. I don't want to run out of it if I live a long time, but at the same time, if I die too soon, I want to make sure somebody gets my money back. So you can buy an immediate annuity that's period certain and life. So for instance, you buy a 10-year period certain and life. What that means is, take the same $100,000, you put it with, you know, the insurance company, they pay you a monthly income for the rest of your life. If you live 20 years, they pay it to you for 20 years. If you live 50 years, they pay it to you for 50 years. Conversely, because they're called a period certain in life, like the one I'm using is called 10 years certain in life in my example, if you die 5 years from now, your heirs get the remainder of the payments for the next 5 years. So all the money goes back to somebody. And you can do different period certains. You can do 20-year period certain, 15-year period certain. They work really well. When they're not in it, I would not call them an investment. They have an investment. Most of them pay a little bit of interest. But you would really use them when you want to make sure that you never run out of money. That's what you're trying to do. You want to make sure that you never run out of money. That it, you know, people are always saying they're worried about running out of money. Well, an immediate annuity is a wonderful product if you want to make sure you have income for the rest of your life. So immediate annuities basically are, you take a lump sum of money, you buy the product, and you get payments sent to you every month for the rest of your life, or whatever period of time you picked. They can be wonderful, wonderful tools. They are used a lot in the VA market because the VA counts IRAs. Medi-Cal, we don't have to worry so much about IRAs, but the VA counts IRAs just like any other money. And so one of the things you can do with IRAs for the VA, in effect, to make them go away, is you annuitize them. Now the VA can only count the income that you get, not the underlying principal of the IRA. So, and IRAs also work very well in spousal situations where one spouse, the spouse that's in the nursing home has an IRA, and we want to get the income to the well spouse. I don't want to get into the weeds again, but immediate annuities can be wonderful, wonderful tools. Wonderful tools. If you're trying to create a stream of income for the rest of your life that you can't outlive. They work really, 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 really well. You need to get them from somebody who's experienced, from somebody who knows what they're doing, from, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they work out really, really, really well. So those are immediate annuities. The other kind of annuities are called deferred annuities. Deferred annuities are a little different. You put the money in, using my example, $100,000, and you put the money in, and it sits there. You are deferring the day until you're going to start taking money out. They're not CDs, but conceptually, because they're insurance company products. But, you know, you put money in a CD and you defer getting it back until some future date. Well, deferred annuities work the same way. Now, here's where the hard part comes. And boy, everything I'm about to tell you is my opinion only, because this is where the misrepresentation starts. This is where banks get in trouble. This is where people don't understand how they work. The combinations and variations and permutations that are available in the deferred annuity business are almost limitless. For instance, there are fixed annuities, deferred annuities. There are fixed, that means they just pay an interest rate every year for some period of time. They give you 2% interest. So I know some fixed annuities that pay 2.65% interest for a fixed period of time. At the end of that period of time, you get your money back plus interest, end of conversation, contract over. Okay, they're fixed annuities, fixed deferred annuities. There are also the ones called fixed indexed annuities. You go, well, fixed, now I'm confused. What's an index? Well, you're all familiar with the stock market indexes. The Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, all that. Well, they track those indexes. They're not invested in those indexes, but they track the indexes. It's a very complicated formula. It's hard to understand for most people, hard to understand for me sometimes. But they're out there, and they're probably the largest of the annuities that are sold, are fixed indexed annuities. So again, I'm not trying to get you down in the weeds, but I want you to understand, because you need to know what kinds of questions to ask whoever's trying to sell you one. If you ever want a second opinion, give me a call. I'll be happy to talk to you. But again, deferred annuities come in several flavors. Fixed annuities, fixed deferred annuities just pay interest every year for a certain number of 3 years, 1 year. There are some fixed annuities that pay interest for just 1 year and then you're done. There are some that pay for 2 years and then you're done, 3 years and then you're done, or whatever it is. Fixed indexed annuities usually have a much longer period that you have to hold them and have much larger surrender penalties. Be very careful with fixed indexed annuities of a first year bonus feature. And again, I got to be careful, because this is not intended to be an examination of all these products. You'll see some fixed indexed annuities that have an 8%, 10% first year bonus. You can almost always equate the bonus with the commission amount. So if it's a 10-year bonus, that means it's a 10% commission. Not always, but most of the time. So if somebody is, you're putting $100,000 in an indexed annuity with a 10% bonus, the agent's probably making 10 grand in commissions. And the surrender penalties can be 10, 12 years. So if you need your money back 6 years from now, you can wind up paying 6-7% in surrender fees, plus what's called a market value adjustment, called an MVA. I'm not going into MVAs. I'm just telling you that in addition to the surrender penalty, there can be a market value adjustment based on what the stock market is doing on that given day. They can be really, really good tools. Most fixed indexed annuities have done very well over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. They have almost always certainly beat any CD rates. They tend to be very safe, very secure if purchased from major companies. The problem with them is not the product, is that some of them can be extremely complicated. Some of them tack on an income rider, which makes it more confusing. If you ever need to cash this in and you agree to take it as income, we'll pay you so much income and we'll waive the surrender penalties. But now you don't have any access to the principal in many cases. Pardon me. And I can go on and on and on and on. There's lots and lots and lots of variables in fixed indexed annuities. Now I'm going to go to another kind of annuity, a deferred annuity, that's even more convoluted than and difficult to understand, and also widely sold primarily by banks and brokers. And that is variable annuities. And let me throw one more thing in that makes these complicated. Almost all annuities now come with some form of long-term care rider that says if you go into a nursing home or assisted living or need home care, you may have access to some of the annuity. It's a big sales point. You may have access to some of the annuity without any penalties. Variable annuities are annuities that are basically invested in the stock market. So within the annuity, let's say you put in $100,000. The commissions aren't generally as high as fixed indexed annuities, but they're still substantial. And you're investing the underlying principal, the variable account, in the stock market. You can buy stocks, you can buy mutual funds. And here's one of the things to watch. Let's say you buy a variable annuity from Acme Insurance Company. Well, Acme Insurance Company may own a whole family of mutual funds. And so when you buy the Acme annuity, you find out that inside your annuity, your mutual funds are all Acme mutual funds. You didn't buy other funds. All the funds were part of the brokerage firm or the brokerage house. Variable annuities, the biggest selling point on variable annuities is, with almost all of them, is if you die, even as the market has gone down, you get all the money back for your heirs that you started with. So they have an insurance component to them. So if you put in $100,000 and the market goes down to $50,000, because you can lose up to and including everything in a variable annuity. But if you die and you've lost half the value of your annuity, your family still gets the $100,000. That doesn't help you out much, but it's a big selling point. My feeling about that, my personal feeling, if I needed life insurance, I'd buy life insurance. I wouldn't buy an annuity for its death benefit value. I buy an annuity for what it's going to do to help take care of me when I get older and I need help and I need money for care and all of that kind of stuff. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. So annuities can be wonderful tools if you understand them. Always, or maybe not always, if it's somebody you really know and trust, but get second opinions. The other thing is, in California, it is generally unacceptable if more than half of your assets, including the value of your house, are put into an annuity. It's considered an unsuitable investment. Now, here's the problem with that. I think this is a law that needs to be changed. So let's say you have a $400,000 house and you have $300,000 in cash. So your estate is worth $700,000. You can put the entire $300,000 in an annuity, tie it up for 10 or 12 years, and you're 75 years old, and it's still an okay sale because you had a $700,000 estate and you only put you put in less than 50% of what you had. I've seen all kinds of people who have every nickel in cash assets they have tied up in annuities with 8, 10, 12 year surrender penalty periods and market value adjustments. That's probably okay if you're 40 years old. In my opinion, and this is my opinion only, it is not okay. It is not okay. It is not okay if you're 85 years old. I have seen people who have bought annuities who are in their 90s with 10 and 12 year surrender penalties. I'll stop and think about that for a minute. So I guess my caveat is this, or what did we learn today, boys and girls? What we learned today, I hope, is that annuities can be good. And any of you remember the movie Young Frankenstein? And they're sitting in, Gene Wilder, and I forget who's the other actor, and they're sitting in with the monster. Not Gene Wilder, anyhow. And the guy is trying to teach the monster about fire, and he says, fire is your friend, fire can warm. But he also winds up burning the guy's thumb with fire. I think it's the same kind of thing as fire. Fire is a very good thing. It warms, it helps, it cooks food, but it can also burn the house down. And I would say the same warning applies for annuities. Make sure you understand, how do you control fire? How do you control this thing? Do you understand it? I mean, do you really understand it? If you don't understand it, then go get a second opinion. Annuities are wonderful tools. And this is not intended to be an exhaustive examination. And remember, I'm licensed to sell them. I don't very often, but I'm licensed. So, you know, be forewarned. I might be saying all of this for my own benefit. But be careful when you buy annuities, because some of them are very simple to understand. Put in money, get a payment every month for 10 years. That's simple. I mean, that's simple. That's an immediate annuity. Fixed annuities, put money in, get 2% interest every year for 3 years or whatever it is, and we're done. That's simple. Fixed indexed annuities, variable annuities, and now we're seeing life insurance products that are indexed life and variable life and all this kind of stuff. Just be careful with the more complicated. They come with bigger promises. You know, bigger rates of return. Oh, this is going to double your money in 3 months or whatever it is. But they also come with more risk. Be really careful of them as you're getting older, when you're going to need money to take care of you, because it may not be available to you because of the market value adjustments and the surrender penalties. Annuities are good things, can be good things. Make sure you understand what you're playing with. If you're not sure, call me. I'd be happy to talk to you. 800 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Annuities are sold quietly using all kinds of little code words and stuff. You know, Medi-Cal compliant, Medi-Cal friendly, retirement accounts. Be careful. Nothing inherently bad in them, but they can be very complex tools, and you need to understand what it is you're buying. And if the person that you're buying them from isn't willing to take the time to explain it to you and make sure you understand, then you need to get up and leave. Don't ever buy a fixed annuity because somebody tells you it's going to help you get VA benefits or it's going to help you get Medi-Cal benefits. Be really careful. For more information or if I can help, give me a call, 800-999-8007. Get to one of my upcoming workshops. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. For questions about any of the issues relating to aging or Medi-Cal or VA or government benefits or look-back periods or do I have to spend it down or is the state going to take my home, give me a call and let's get together. Let's meet together as families, get everybody involved, and make sure at the end of life, you have protected what you've worked a lifetime for. Well, for Assets and Aging, this is Bob Scrivano. We'll plan on seeing you here again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Otherwise, give me a call. Get in to see me, 800-999-8007. Have a great day.